Confidence does not come from your accomplishments. It does not come from praise from other people. Confidence isn't about not making mistakes. It's not about being perfect. It's about being okay with being imperfect, being okay with being messy, with getting things wrong, and still believing in yourself and believing in your capacity to lead. The three cornerstones of confidence: self-trust, being able to feel any emotion, and your thoughts and beliefs about yourself. Welcome to Is This All There Is?, the podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes of success and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Today, I am recording episode number 50 of this podcast, and that is super exciting. Recording this podcast for you has definitely been a labor of love. I love this time to connect and share some things that I know with you and share things that are on my mind. And there are also, with me having a human brain, there are times when I just don't want to sit down and record it. And that's okay, too. I want to give a shout out to my fabulous and super patient podcast producer, Mukundwa Gadaliba of Wow Wow Podcasts. She is amazing. She hasn't given up on me yet, which is good. She's always encouraging. And if you are looking to start a podcast, or if you are looking for someone to produce your current podcast, I highly recommend Wow Wow Podcasts. You can check them out in the show notes. There will be a link down below. So yeah, podcast episode 50. If you have been along for the entire journey, thank you. That is amazing. And if you're joining us for the first time today, also thank you. That is also amazing. If you find this episode helpful, please, as always, forward it to a friend, get on Apple Music or iTunes, and leave a review. That is so helpful to help other people get this information. So today, I want to talk about something that's been on my mind, and that is confidence. So if you're on my email list, I am wrapping up the 12 days of confidence, actually, today. And in each day of the past 12 days, I have been dropping a confidence tip to everyone on my email list. If you missed it, I am so sorry. You should get yourself on my email list by going to my website, amandaryanfear.com. And if you are on my email list, hopefully you've been enjoying the 12 Days of Confidence and you've been finding that the tips are helpful to you. Now, why confidence, you might be asking? Well, I've found in my past several years of coaching that women come to me for all different types of reasons. They come to me because they're overwhelmed and they want to cut things out of their life, but they're not sure how to do that. They want help managing stress. They want help getting ahead in their careers. They want help making decisions like, is it time to retire? Is it time to give this job up that I've had and move to the beach and start making baskets? Whatever it is that they need additional support with, I found that the common denominator is self-confidence. So let me explain. Self-confidence is really kind of the X factor in our lives that differentiate people who are able to say no to things that aren't a heck yes. People who feel like they can really live a life aligned with their values rather than feeling like they have to take detours that don't necessarily align with their values. People who don't care so much about every little thing that their boss says and feel less stressed because of that. Really, people who are able to decide what it is they want and go after it. Not in a perfect way and not without any self-doubt, because we'll always have human brains, which cause us to doubt ourselves. But really, confidence is the factor that helps us make decisions and go after what we want without worrying so much about other people and what they'll think and all of the other things that we worry about. So I've been devoting a lot of time and energy to confidence lately, specifically confidence for leaders. So let me define what I consider to be a leader, because that might be a little bit different than what you think about. Sure, having a leadership position is technically you're a leader, but I think it goes so much more beyond that. I think that being a leader means that you are in charge of your own life. You are a leader of your own life. And so that means that you are able to set boundaries around your time and energy. You're able to tell people no. You're able to say, this is what I want from my life, and I'm going to go after it. So when I talk about leaders, I not only am talking about people in leadership positions who have legitimate followers, but I'm talking about people who own their own businesses and people who are living their lives in a way that feels authentic and congruent to them. So those are kind of coachy words, authentic and congruent. But what I mean by that is they're living by their values, they're living by their desires, and they're recognizing that for all we know, we just get this one life, and we're not going to waste any of it, and we are going to go after what we want. So you may have thought that if you were in a leadership position, then once you got your current position, that you'd feel more confident. Or maybe you thought once you got the degree that you have, or once you found a partner, you would feel more confident. Or whatever outside accomplishment you have that you thought would bring you more confidence. And then you get the thing, you get the promotion, you get the partner, and you realize, huh, I am feeling even less confident than I was before. And that is definitely what has been the case for me in the past. When I graduated from college and I became an administrative assistant first out of college, long story there that I'm not going to get into, and quickly was ready to move on from that. And so I applied to be a consultant for the firm that I was working for and got the consultant position. And the whole time I was an administrative assistant, I thought, once I become a consultant, once I'm out working in the field, I'm going to feel so much more confident. But the opposite happened, where as soon as I was out with other consultants, I had such big imposter syndrome. I was the only one without like an economics or a political science background. I was there with my art history and psychology degree. I didn't have all of the business skills that a lot of them had. And so the self-doubt and lack of confidence was really big for me. Then I had some other jobs and was a high school teacher for a while and felt really confident doing that. And then I became an assistant principal. And I thought, once I get a leadership position, I'm going to feel so much more confident. And same thing, imposter syndrome hit hard. And I second-guessed every decision and doubted myself a lot of the time, and really just made some not-so-good decisions because I was making the decision based on what I thought other people wanted rather than what I thought was actually the best decision for our school. So self-doubt can really kick in once you get the promotion, once you get the degree, once you get the position that you've been wanting for a long time. But for whatever reason, we think once we get it, we'll be more confident. So confidence does not come from our accomplishments. And you know this because you've accomplished a lot in your life and you still don't have the confidence that you want, I'm guessing. So confidence is more than just a trait. It's not something that you're born with, which is good news because it's something that you can develop. And it's the bedrock upon which successful leadership is built. It's often with the leaders that we most want to follow, it's their self-assuredness, their unwavering belief in themselves and their vision that we get behind. And here's where I'll give you a caveat. So a lot of the women that I work with are afraid that they can get too confident and then they become arrogant. But what I'll say about that is arrogance isn't a symptom of too much confidence. Arrogance is actually a symptom of not enough confidence and wanting to cover it up by trying to make other people look small. So I'm sure you've worked with arrogant people in the past. They are not fun to be around. And if you're worried about turning into one of them because you become too confident, I'm going to tell you that's not possible. What I will tell you, though, is when you start acting more confidently, like when you start saying no to things, when you start not taking on other people's emotions, when you start setting boundaries around your time and energy, you're going to feel like you're acting arrogant. That's because after decades of not feeling confident, it's like your confidence meter is off. And so it's like if you're used to driving your car around with almost no gas in the tank, and then suddenly you feel or you have a full tank of gas, things are going to feel different. And it's similar, sort of, when you start developing confidence after a lifetime of not feeling confident, you're going to feel like you're being kind of a jerk. This is something that I don't have a magic wand for. It's just something you have to be aware of, is if you've been used to acting in a not confident way, if you've been used to feeling self-doubt all the time, once you start building some confidence, you're going to feel off. It's going to feel kind of wrong. And that's just because you're getting used to this new confidence. I'll work on coming up with some other metaphors for that. So confidence does not come from your accomplishments. It does not come from praise from other people. It can feel good if someone says, hey, good job on that presentation, or I really like your pants. But that's not what gives us lasting confidence. I wanted to talk about three key aspects for confidence. Confidence plays a pivotal role in leadership, either leadership at work or your personal leadership. So having self-confidence, a high degree of self-confidence, fuels decision-making. A confident leader isn't paralyzed by indecision. They assess situations, they trust their judgment, and they act decisively. It's the confidence in their abilities that enables them to make tough calls, navigate uncertainties, and chart a clear path forward for their team. Secondly, confidence inspires others. A leader's confidence is infectious. When team members witness their leader's belief in a shared goal, it ignites motivation. People rally behind confident leaders because they exude conviction, instilling trust and encouraging others to push beyond their limits. Finally, confidence allows for resilience in the face of challenges. Leadership isn't immune to setbacks, but confident leaders perceive challenges as opportunities for growth rather than opportunities to beat themselves up and hide. Their self-belief anchors them during turbulent times, enabling them to adapt, learn, and guide their team through adversity. But how does one develop confidence, either as a leader or just as a human being? There are three cornerstones of confidence that I teach. I'll tell you the three, and then I'll explain each one in more detail. The first one is self-trust. Second is being able to feel any emotion. And third is your thoughts and beliefs about yourself. Okay, so I talk about self-trust in depth in episode 20 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to learn more. I also am going to put a link to my training. It's a free 30-minute video of going from self-doubt to self-trust that will explain everything you need to know and more about building self-trust. That basically self-trust, like I said, is a cornerstone of confidence, and it's having your own back. It's knowing that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay, that you can figure it out. And everywhere, every time I've gotten stuck in my life, I've realized that it has come down to a lack of self-trust. So building self-trust is really the key to feeling more confident and being able to accomplish more of what you want in your life. The second cornerstone of confidence is being able to feel any emotion. And this is basically a superpower. So most of us let fear of feeling emotions hold us back. I'll give you an example. Let's imagine there was a job that you were really interested in. It's either in your current company or a different company, or maybe it's just totally different from what you're doing. But the job description sounds really cool. You're really interested in it. And then you think to yourself, well, I don't really have all of the qualifications for that. And you talk yourself out of applying for it. Part of the reason you're talking yourself out of applying for it is because you're afraid of feeling disappointed. Fear of disappointment holds us back from taking risks, from stepping out of our comfort zones, from doing bigger things. But all disappointment is an emotion. And all an emotion is a sensation in your body caused by a thought. Emotions can be unpleasant, yes, but they can't hurt us. They can't kill us. So being able to feel any emotion, like disappointment, shame, embarrassment, really will make you unstoppable. It's really a big part of confidence. Because when you realize that feeling disappointed, feeling shame, feeling embarrassed, feeling guilty, those are all emotions you've felt before. I'm not saying they're fun, but they aren't going to hurt you. And so you'll be able to take more risks. You'll be able to act more confidently. And you won't care so much about if things go wrong. So being able to feel any emotion is really an important life skill that nobody teaches until then. Nobody but me. No, I'm just kidding. Other coaches teach it too. And then finally, your thoughts and beliefs about yourself. So I'm sure you've heard me say on this podcast that everything you think is optional. None of your thoughts are true. Same with beliefs. A belief is a thought you've thought over and over again. And all a thought is a sentence in your brain. Beliefs and thoughts both feel so true because we've thought them so many times in the past. So if you think, I'm not confident, guess what? That's not going to create confidence. That's a pretty basic example of that. But if you think like, I can't do public speaking freaks me out. That's only going to create more of public speaking freaking you out. You have to really be able to identify the thoughts and beliefs that are holding you back and train your brain to think in a more confident way. So my caveat for that is you can't just flip the switch. If you're thinking, I suck at public speaking, you can't just start trying to think, I'm amazing at public speaking because your brain won't believe it. You have to change your thoughts more gradually and slowly so that they can become more empowering beliefs that your brain will actually latch onto and believe. And there's a process I teach all of my clients to do that. So, three cornerstones of confidence: self-trust, being able to feel any emotion, and your thoughts and beliefs about yourself. So remember, confidence isn't about not making mistakes. It's not about being perfect. It's about being okay with being imperfect, being okay with being messy, with getting things wrong, and still believing in yourself and believing in your capacity to lead. When we exude confidence, we inspire trust, we foster growth, and we steer our teams towards success. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, stuck, or lacking confidence in your leadership abilities, it might be time to consider hiring a coach. Some of the bigger signs that it might be time to hire a coach are if you're feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling stuck, or you are not motivated, you're lacking confidence, or perhaps you have a new role that you are growing and adjusting towards and you want some support in that. Hiring a coach isn't just about fixing problems, though. It's also a great time to hire a coach when life is going well and you want to up-level or you have a big goal you want to achieve. So there's some things you can expect when you hire a coach. You'll have a regular schedule of coaching. I usually see my clients every week for an hour, sometimes every other week for an hour. And the coaching space is a safe space for you to bring all of yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly, and your challenges to be heard. Because I know that you spend 98% of your days putting on your best face and trying to be your best person, and that's exhausting. So with a coach, you get to be your full-on messy self, and you get support for that. You'll also have someone to hold you accountable for what you say you're going to do. So if you've noticed that you have set the same goal over and over again and you just can't quite get over the hump, the coach will support you in staying accountable towards your goals. A coach can also help you build a better relationship with yourself because, again, you don't have to be perfect for your coach. You can show up and be messy and learn that that's okay. I always tell my clients that my job is to believe in them until they can believe in themselves. Finally, and I think the most important job of a coach is to help point out your blind spots, especially with these beliefs and thoughts that are holding you back, because our beliefs and our thoughts just feel like the truth to us. If you tell me you can't do something, I know that feels like the truth to you, and it's my job to point out that that's not the truth. That's just how you're feeling. That's just what you're thinking. So a coach can help you have a better relationship with yourself by thinking of yourself in a better light and by teaching you how to actually process your emotions so that they aren't something that holds you back any longer. If you're interested in exploring coaching with me, our first step is to get on a consultation call. You can do that by booking a call using the link in the show notes. It's on my website, amandaryanfear.com/consultation. And you and I will spend about 45 minutes together on a Zoom call or on the phone, your preference, and talk about what's going on in your life. We'll talk about what's going well, where you're feeling stuck, where you'd like to go, what you've tried before in the past, what hasn't worked. And then I will give you a list of recommendations for how to move forward. If we both feel like we're a good fit for each other, we can talk about what coaching together would look like, assuming that I think that I can help you. We'll talk about what coaching together would look like, and we can come up with a plan from there. If that sounds good, I highly encourage you to book a consultation call. They're super fun. And even if we decide not to work together, you'll walk away with recommendations for how to move forward. All right, friends, thanks for being here for episode 50. If this was helpful, please forward to a friend and leave a review, and I'll catch you on the next one. If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com. That's AmandaryanFear.com, where you can find links to join my free private Facebook group and learn more about working with me.